News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Still want to give you a heads up on this fog. It is pretty dense out there, so if you haven't left the house yet, just understand it. You want to take your time wherever you're going. Leanne also said it was pretty rough coming in Halls Mill Roadway, so just be careful. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5 with Dan and Dalton and Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, and it's a Tuesday and time to talk with Quinn Hillier of QuinnHillier.com. You can also read his work at the Washington Examiner and the Mad Jones Trilogy, available on Amazon. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys.
So we've been discussing the last couple of weeks this confirmation process for Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson, and it seems pretty evenly split along party lines. I think Manchin came out and said that he would vote for her. He's likely to vote for her confirmation. So I think she'll get in the way things stand now. But what did you make of the last couple days of the Senate questioning her?
I thought the more she went on, the more red flags it raised. I actually thought her first day, the prepared testimony and the very initial questioning, she did very well. But the longer it went, the more she came across as a sophist, meaning somebody who manipulates words and language to misdirect rather than to be straight.
Mm-hmm.
And look, the worst was not actually the what she said about the child pornography and all that kind of stuff. I mean, substantively, her record on that, there were reasons to question.
Right.
But in terms of her answers, the worst were when she was talking about critical race theory.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically lied, because she is on record multiple times talking about how basically the Bible of critical race theory, or the founder of it, the book of Derek Bell, was on her parents' table when she was growing up. She has made repeated references to it. She's brought it up in a legal context. And yet, when she was under questioning, she said, well, that's an academic discipline, and and I'm not really all that familiar with it, but it certainly doesn't come up in my role as a judge. Well, excuse me, you can't say you're not familiar with it when you've made like five different speeches where you gratuitously brought it in, and in one of those times you specifically brought it in on sentencing. And then she said, well, I was talking about my job on the U.S. Sentencing Commission, and that was bringing it in as one of the academic disciplines for policy making, but not for judging. But the Sentencing Commission is basically a quasi-judicial body.
Mm-hmm.
And for her to make that kind of distinction, that's a distinction without a difference. She darn well knows it. And she was just obfuscating. She was misdirecting. It was not honest.
What about the comment that I think was discussed more than any that she made when she was asked what is a woman, or she was asked, is she a woman or what is a woman? And she said, I'm not a biologist. I don't know the answer to that.
Look, just about everything she did when she was evading like that, bobbing and weaving, as Andy McCarthy of National Review put it, was when it was a difficult legal subject, difficult in that in terms of the political effect, because her position, she knows, is not shared by the majority of Americans. And in that case, she clearly did not want to get on the hook for all of this extreme transgender nonsense that says basically a man can become a woman and should immediately be treated like a woman in all respects, no matter what they look like, no matter what their chromosomes are, no matter how much physical advantage they have, like in sports. She knows that she's in the minority on that. So rather than get into that, she comes up with this dodge that I'm not a biologist. Well, that was not honest testimony.
Yeah, just my two cents worth. You're not never going to see me holding the door open for that swimmer from Penn. He can come through on his own.
If you did hold it open and you were north of the Mason-Dixon line, you'd get slapped. You know, and you'd get slapped by somebody who doesn't look like Will Smith, by the way. I mean, seriously, when I went to Georgetown, this is 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would go to hold the door open for girls from, say, New York or somewhere like that, or Connecticut, and they'd look at me and get huffy as if I had insulted them.
Yeah.
Because, of course, chivalry is a bad thing up there. So maybe you shouldn't be holding the doors open, at least not above the Mason-Dixon.
Okay. No. That's a life tip for you there.
If you see me at Greer's downtown, you're on your own. I think they've got automatic doors, so no charges against me.
That's right. And then you also had Mitch McConnell, who said, at least early on, he appeared like he was on the fence. But after Jackson refused to say she was against packing the court, that was enough for the Senate minority leader to say she had lost his vote. She declined to condemn the push to pack the court. Is this something you think could come to fruition in the next decade or so, putting more justices on the court?
Conceivably it could, because if the Democrats get the president and the House majority and the Senate majority without needing the tie-breaking vote, and without Joe Manchin there, then they could, you know, they could do this nuclear option thing and pass it through on a party line, 51-49 vote in the Senate, and boom, it would be done. They would pay a bad price politically, but they would figure that that whatever they lost politically, they would gain by just the raw power of having that many more justices on their side.
Yeah. So we talked about this, excuse me, Dawn, but it was like the last time the Supreme Court was expanded in any way. It was like post-Civil War, I think. It's
been a long time.
Long time ago.
Yeah, it was a very temporary thing during and immediately after the Civil War, but 3 years after the Civil War, they went back down to nine, and it's been nine since like 1871.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
So if they had the majority now, you think they would have gone for it already if they had a bigger majority?
Yeah. If it weren't for Manchin and Sinema, they would have done it now. And people need to remember that the only reason they have a majority is because Republicans lost the two Georgia votes when Donald Trump deliberately tamped down Republican participation in those runoffs. And why he never got blamed for that, I don't know. But it let the Democrats do all sorts of mischief that they wouldn't do if they didn't have a majority.
Yeah, Perdue and Loeffler. And, of course, Perdue now the former president's pick for governor as he runs against Brian Kemp.
And now Herschel Walker in the mix for Senate, right?
That's right. While we're talking about the Supreme Court, one more question for you, I guess kind of regarding both of the things you just brought up. Last week, as the Democrats were pushing so hard for a black woman to get confirmed to the court, they were going after the only other African-American who's already on the court. Clarence Thomas was in the hospital as well, as they went and released some text messages from his wife, Virginia Thomas, to Mark Meadows immediately after the 2020 election. It's kind of ironic, and I know some people have pointed it out, but as Democrats push so hard to get a black woman on the court, that they're also doing their best to kind of kneecap the only black male that's on the court right now.
Well, it shouldn't have anything to do with race in either direction, which is why, you know, when Biden said, "I'm going to only consider black women," that just perpetuates racism in my mind. But look, Jenny, and I can call her Jenny, she was literally my Trivial Pursuit partner at one point.
Wow, was she good?
She was okay. We won. our pair beat the other three teams in the U.S. Capitol and got to leave as the victors.
You've got the best camp stories of anybody, I'll tell you that.
Be that as it may, Jenny was out of line with her tweets.
She's
out of line both because what she said was a little goofy, and also because it just doesn't look good for the wife of a Supreme Court justice to be be going that far out political, on a political limb. Yeah. But that said, there's absolutely nothing that she said or did that we know of yet that would in any way actually force a recusal from Clarence Thomas on anything that he has come before the court yet. And there's therefore absolutely nothing that implicates his ethics. And all this business about he should resign or impeach him, that's absolutely not.
So we've got follow-up, actually, more details and new details to a story that you talked about last week about the Heart of Mary Catholic School here. We'll talk about that on the way, and maybe the governor's race, too, Quinn?
Sounds good.
All right.
Quinn Hillier. You can read his work, quinnhillier.com. Also, Washington Examiner, and plenty more to go with him. Plus, turning up your voice, 251-343-0106.
Mobile Mornings, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Good morning.
Thanks, Kane, 822, FM Talk 106.5, in this segment of Mobile Mornings, brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and his crew doing fantastic work, as they have been for well over a decade now. A local crew, and you'll know they're local once you give them a call. I've got a stack here of customer reviews, and this is one you know this is somebody from down south who left this review. Raymond says, they called and came early. They worked hard with no slacking off.
Yeah, you go.
Did a great job. No slackers there on the 1-800-GOT-JUNK team. And you can call and make your appointment today. They have flexible appointments that start on time. Often you can get them the same day that you call. Plus free on-site estimates with all-inclusive pricing. No hidden fees or after charges that they'll charge you with after they're gone from your home. Plus the teams are friendly and they do all the heavy lifting. All you have to do is point. So set up your appointment today. The number 1-800-GOT-JUNK or online 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
I tell you, they are worth the call, or check them out online. Great at what they do.
No slacking off when they came to your place either.
And no slacking off. Hey, no slacking off. And I was happy about that. I wasn't even in town when they were doing that. They did a great job. Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, also the Washington Examiner. We're going to kind of examine something a lot closer than Washington. This is a statement from the Archdiocese of Mobile. After thoughtful conversation among all responsible parties with the support of the Archdiocese of Mobile, some national and local Heart of Mary School alumni have offered to take responsibility for the continued existence of Heart of Mary Catholic School in Mobile, Alabama. Quite a resolution to the situation, huh, Quinn?
Yeah, because just less than 2 weeks ago, the Archbishop had said he was going to close the school. And look, this is credit to the alumni group, spearheaded by, among others, General Cooper, and especially by Carlos Finley. Mm-hmm. And whatever you think of how he ran that race for mayor, Carlos Finley has stepped up for this little school, led this fundraising drive that raised $450,000 in 1 month. And it's a historic school with a lot of great alumni, but serves sort of an impoverished community and does a good job of it. And they're keeping it alive. More power to them. Everybody involved, again, spearheaded by Carlos Finley, did a wonderful job, and this is great news, and I credit the Archbishop for being flexible enough to change his mind.
Yeah, but here's the thing. How about this? The Archdiocese said that the school will remain open but will no longer be run by the Archdiocese.
Well, right. I mean, I don't know exactly what the details are. Maybe they'll just charge rent or something like that, but that's fine. I mean, the as long as it keeps its faith-based character, if the board wants to take responsibility for running it, more power to them. I think they can and will succeed. This is good for the whole city of Mobile to keep little schools like this operational, serving communities that need to be served. And this is just great news.
Yeah, and I'm sure if you ask Carlos or anyone else involved in this, that probably tell you the work is just beginning.
Well, that's what I'm looking at. I mean, the sustainability of all this, you know, if the Archdiocese is pulling away, mm-hmm. that's like losing your number 2, 3, 4, and 5 hitter
yeah.
in the lineup.
Well, yeah, but, they've raised $450,000. It costs just over $300,000 to operate for a year, is my understanding. And they apparently have lots of things in the works for some national support, some national partnership,
Canadian support as well.
Yeah, and so they think they can make it sustainable for the long term, and I love seeing it.
My buddy texted; he wanted to know if the archdiocese, if their bluff was called on this, that he says the church maybe wanted to dump it, said if donors could raise money, it could stay open, and they didn't expect donors to accomplish their goal. Is that kind of what you think happened there?
I don't think there was anything intentional by the archdiocese. I think they doubted whether it was sustainable, and so
business decision.
They were doing what they thought made sense. And then the board stepped up, and the board has outdone itself and done a marvelous job. And look, that's not the only school like that around. I was on the board of Pritchard Prep for 9 years. It does a great job over in its community. Independent, faith-based schools can do marvelous things, and this is one of them, and it's a good success story, we hope.
Let's get into one more subject here. I was at the shooting range the other day and saw two gentlemen talking about Governor Kay Ivey yeah. and her re-election. Oh, wait, no, that's just her newest election ad.
Exactly.
Again, going back to the shooting range, if you remember the initial campaign for Governor Kay Ivey, what do you think about this race or lack of a race here? Tim James may be the only one that's making some noise outside of the governor?
I mean, Lindy Blanchard's out there with commercials that frankly haven't impressed me much. But Alabama needs and deserves a better race and a better debate on issues than they've given. I mean, you know, it's a cute ad to have Governor Ivey drum her fingers on the desk because she can't say something nice about Joe Biden. But look, our education system is one of the two or three worst in the nation by every measurement. Our mental health care is terrible. Our courts and especially our crime lab, our forensics lab, way, way, way backed up. We have all sorts of problems that really need solutions. I'm not saying it's all Kay Ivey's fault, but we need a better debate than we're getting, and instead all we're getting is schlock. And it's really, really frustrating.
You didn't even get around to prisons, which have got the attention of the Department of Justice in a big way.
Yeah, and I will give Ivy credit for this in that, you know, she's come up with two solutions. The first one fell apart, and then she went back to the drawing board, and it looks like they've got plans in place that should work if there's enough time to implement them. But, yeah, she fell on her face really badly the first time. Plus, she also basically delayed our bridge by 2 years in a fit of pique, just because she was angry that we didn't take her plan that she tried to shove down our throats.
Remind us, Quinn.
You know, there's a lot to complain about. She's done some good things. I'm not saying before or against her, but let's have better debate than we've had.
Quinn, to remind everybody where they can read your stuff and get your stuff.
QuinnHillier.com or just Google Quinn Hillier and Washington Examiner. And my books, The Matt Jones Trilogy, available on Amazon. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Quinn. And coming back, we'll turn up your voice, 251-343-0106. A whole lot more to get into here on Mobile Mornings.
Read some texts from the text line. Same number as well. 830 with Dan and Dalton. Dalton FM Talk 106.5, 834. Take a little break with the fog now, but give me a lift. Sunshine later today, back into the 80s. How about that? And then we'll look to be heads up tomorrow and tomorrow night. Same thing that came through last week. Well, it didn't wrap its way around the world, and it's back again. It's a different storm, but it's going to be a lot very...
similar to something we've had.
Reminiscent of what we had last week. And again, it's going to be at nighttime, which is makes things a little more dicey. 836 FM Talk 106.5 with Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. And you mentioned this not long ago when the story broke. Let's get into this a little bit, shall we, Dalton?
Because let's do it.
Looks like a bit of a turn in direction here with Russia and Ukraine and these talks. Russian Deputy Defense Minister Alexander Fomin said Tuesday that his country has agreed to reduce military activity in the Kyiv and Chernihiv direction in hopes of reaching an agreement aimed at ending the war in Ukraine. I don't think we've heard words like this from Russia until now, have we?
Not really. And obviously it may be posturing as they prepare to meet, but they've also, you know, kind of stalled out, if reports are to be believed, around the city of Kiev, and maybe focusing more of their attention on the eastern portion of Ukraine, which, when all is said and done, may just end up being
what they end up with.
Yeah, right? Kind of what ends this current fighting. It may be some sort of a ceasefire, but I don't think we'll see the end of this. Even if people aren't fighting, we won't see the end of this for a long, long time.
The statement goes on, due to the fact that negotiations on the preparation of an agreement on the neutrality and non-nuclear status of Ukraine, as well as on the provision of security guarantees to Ukraine, are moving into practice, taking into account the principles discussed during today's meeting by the Ministry of Defense and the Russian Federation in order to increase mutual trust and create the necessary conditions for further negotiations and achieving the ultimate goal of agreeing on the signing of the above agreement. A decision was made to radically at times reduce military activity in the Kyiv and the other direction. That's the longest sentence of all time, so congratulations there. So it's a little bit of an update. We were talking about the meetings were going to be happening today. They're, what, 12 hours ahead of us or something? I don't know exactly what it is. But in any event, it looks like the meeting has happened, and here's the statement since the meeting.
Yeah, and 3.9 million now have fled Ukraine. Just a week ago, it was somewhere above 2 million.
Right.
But we're now at 3.9 million, and will there be some kind of deal reached soon? I was reading from some European diplomat who said they really don't expect for a truce to be called anytime soon, really in the next few weeks. But another said he would put it at about a 50-50 shot that they come to some sort of agreement, which would see at least the temporary end of some of this fighting. But, you know, the rhetoric has been increased over the last week with Zelensky saying, "We won't demilitarize, but we are willing to completely abandon the thought of joining NATO." And also, I think he kind of referenced the Donbass region, basically.
Yep. On the table.
That it's on the table, yeah. Mm-hmm. And those were two of what Putin allegedly asked for. Is but he also
five or six conditions.
He had several, but the main ones were recognize that as an independent territory, and also the demilitarization is the big one that Putin keeps bringing up. And of course, you've heard him say denazification. But what he really wants is for all of these Western countries to get out of Ukraine, because he's feeling the pressure right there. And Ukraine is such a vital part of the world, and as far as resources go, through all of the cloud and smoke, and you could talk about cultural and history and everything that Kiev and Ukraine means to Russia, but in the end it comes down to the same thing that everything comes down to, right? And that's money. Mm-hmm. And resources that can turn into money, and Ukraine is chock full of that, and both the West and Russia want a big portion of it.
So meanwhile, and does this have anything to do with it? I don't know, but probably somewhat. Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby yesterday announced that the U.S. is sending six Navy EA-18 Growler aircraft to an air base in Germany to bolster readiness, enhance NATO's collective defense posture, and further increase and integration capabilities with our allied and partner nations. These Growlers, as those of you who are familiar with the platform know, are equipped for a variety of missions, Kirby said. So anyway, arming NATO, not arming Ukraine there necessarily, but arming NATO and a readiness. And as this continues, you know, Russia just militarily has not had a good day at the office in probably this whole time.
Yeah, and who knows what they really expected going in. I mean, the word was that they would take Kiev within 2 days, and we're now on day 33 or 34 of the invasion, maybe even a little further past that. But we also, it's been a long time since we've seen a war, while one would be considered very militarily advanced in Russia, Ukraine is no Afghanistan.
Mm-mm.
This is a European country that has many of the same a lot of the same technology that everyone else has, and have been very well funded militarily from the West. This wasn't going to be some, you know, fight against the Taliban. And we saw how long the Taliban has been able to fight with their, you know, limited ability.
Throwing rocks at a tank.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
And so it's hard to imagine that the level of miscalculation here by Russia, because that seems to be what it is right now. They've got pie on their face right now, and Putin's probably angered and embarrassed,
and he's
on the world stage.
Yeah, and or maybe this was the plan. You know, I don't think it was, but maybe the plan was to do an all out offensive on many of the major cities in the country, and then your fallback would be what you initially wanted. In this case, what Putin initially wanted, which is the Donbass region and the southeastern region. So
yeah, so you're right about that. If he ends up getting what he initially wanted, then
because that's what people thought the invasion would be.
Exactly,
they didn't think they would go that far in.
Right. And now we got these stories anyway, and I'm reading more and more of the lack of morale with Russian troops. I think we've been reading this for weeks now, right? Young kids that were in there had no idea what they're in for, and now they're actually turning in some regard on their commanders. You've had 8 generals, I believe, that have been killed in action. Mm-hmm. There is some talk that some may have been killed by their own troops, which is
interesting.
Yeah, so I read one account there, but it just speaks to the lack of enthusiasm that the Russian soldiers have, and you can see it in the results, right?
And Sean had a great conversation, I think it was Friday, it was Thursday of last week with Bryant Knight with Fight or Die. Of course, Bryant, a veteran, and hearing him talk about this engagement from his military point of view was very interesting. And so many of these Russians that they have fighting that they sent into Ukraine are conscripted soldiers. They're not volunteers, and many of them, I would say, probably don't necessarily consider. I think you have quite a few fighters from other countries, even that they're gathering from Syria and some of the Chechens from the Chechen war.
Yep.
From Russia. We've seen the Chechens fight. They love fighting, but it's not like the volunteers that we see sign up for the American military, who know full and well going in what's on the line and what they're willing to put on the line.
Right.
And in so many cases we've seen, it's been their own lives.
Yeah, a pride in nation can fuel an effort a lot better than someone who's bewildered by the whole thing, thinking, mama, get me out of here.
But then you also have, and nothing is ever black and white, there's so many people that want to say it is, like the people that are picking sides on this slap thing. I mean, talk about how little that matters in the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. As many people are talking about the Will Smith altercation. When you think about what else is going on in the world, you have all of these people who didn't know about Ukraine a year ago.
Sure, yeah.
And they're waving the blue and yellow flags, and that's great and everything. And I think most people don't like what Putin's doing. But there are bad people on both sides. There are bad people that fight for America. Mm-hmm. And you have to make sure that some of these guys who Ukraine absolutely needs, they're necessary to Ukraine keeping their country and fighting Russia off. You have this Azov battalion, and you have some of these guys who just don't appear to be good people. Now, some videos have made their way out of Ukraine where they are torturing Russian POWs. And many of these are the same Russians that you were just saying are kind of turning on their own leadership and might not have wanted to be there necessarily. But this could also have a terrible effect and maybe embolden many of the Russians who, they may have been against the war, but they see videos coming out of Ukrainians shooting their soldiers in the leg while their hands are behind their backs. Mm-hmm. Ukraine has since talked about that some, and I think it was the one of the advisors to Zelensky, Alexei Arestovich, who said, "I'd like to remind our military, civilian, and defense forces that the abuse of prisoners is a war crime that has no amnesty under military law and no statute of limitations." Well, so that's out there.
Yeah, that's out there. Also out there in plain sight is the shelling of apartments.
You're right.
And
hospitals.
And hospitals. And children's hospitals. And you've got all these, these things that you never even think about until now. Think about, personally, what number of medications are you on that you actually, you got to have them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's out the window. It's not like these people are running down to Walgreens, right, in the middle of this war. I doubt that seriously. So you have children who are sick, who are, or, you know, have these medications that are vital to keep them well or keep them alive. And you've got to, you know, any age group that is on some sort of a medication, they're not getting treated right now. Hospitals and doctor's appointments, I would think for the most part, during a war like this, they're out the window. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people that have never, not even close to being shelled, and still their reality is being, you know, taken down a bunch of notches from what they would normally want and normally have 2 months ago.
Yeah, and much of that happening in the eastern part of Ukraine. Yep. It's kind of surprising. I saw a video yesterday of one of the cities. I think that they had a lot of shelling go on in one of these Ukrainian cities, but they had road work crews out paving roads. It would be like if Mobile was getting shelled and Aldot was still out there, you know, finding a way to pave part of 65.
Yeah.
They are still going about business in as many cities as they can in Ukraine, but obviously if they're under direct Russian assault, it becomes very difficult to do anything but hide.
You're right. In some cities,
or fight.
Some cities more than others. Absolutely correct there, because from Mariupol, right down on the coast, they've had a tough time of it. It's 847 FM Talk 106.5. Dalton is better at reading the text than I am. I'll admit that. So Dalton reads some text on the way. Plus, your phone calls are welcome at 251-343-0106.
FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. The Jeff Poor Show on the way in just a few minutes. Also going to get to your texts. 251-343-0106. This segment brought to you by local personal injury law firm Tobias and Comer Law. Actually, the other day I was watching this sporting event on TV and saw a national advertisement for a law firm that I thought was a local law firm. It kind of surprised me. Okay. Because of so many ads and billboards I'd seen. I was like, wow, I thought that company was from here, but they actually weren't. They're a national company trying to sell themselves as local.
You see that a lot.
And Tobias and Comer Law is local. They're right here in Mobile, and they've been helping folks on both sides of the bay and the surrounding area for more than 50 years. It's the combined experience there of both Desi Tobias and Brian Comer. They have the knowledge and the passion to make things right for their clients and take pride in personally handling your case. They don't hand it off to another attorney. At Tobias and Comer, they are real people helping real people with compassion and respect. And you can read more about the firm at tobiascomerlaw.com. Or if you believe you might have a case, you can give them a call for a free consultation at any time. 251-432-5001. That's Tobias and Comer Law.
854, Jeff Poor Show at 905. And among the guests, House Minority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter. So we'll see what's going on as the legislature kind of winds down. But they've got work to do. Media Research Center's Brian Bradley, also Jefferson County GOP Chairman Paul DeMarco, and I'll wrap it up with Yellowhammer News Dylan Smith, all on the Jeff Poor Show, following our show on FM Talk 106.5.
Great text here from Supermom. As I was discussing the Ukrainians shooting Russian POWs in the legs while their hands were bound behind their back. She said, Russia and Putin started this madness based on a Putin lie. My caring of Russian soldiers being tortured stopped when Russia started bombing residential areas, children's hospitals, and generally not having a soul. It is what it is. And while I feel like, how about this line? Morally, I agree with you. I'm morally outraged.
You're moral outraged.
Morally outraged.
Remember, you can say the wrong thing, but if you're morally outraged while you're saying it, that's okay.
Doesn't count.
Yeah.
So I'm morally outraged at what the Russians are doing. Obviously, so many people are. But I don't think that breaking the rules of the Geneva Conventions helps Ukraine be either respected as a peer of the United States and some of these other countries, or, frankly, their hopes of getting into NATO, if this is happening and happening a lot.
Well, if
someone...
We're going to be less sympathetic toward them, toward their, what they're trying to do, obviously, to a degree.
And it hurts their moral standing,
yes.
Even though it's not equal. I would say, you know, bombing a school is worse than shooting someone in the legs who came to your country to take over, to fight. That's not the rules. And if they want to be considered one of these countries that plays by the rules, they got to start playing by the rules, which is all also ironic because countries that are supposedly not torturing prisoners and that includes some United States soldiers, have tortured prisoners, but in many cases they were dealt with. So that's just one of the many kind of branches of this tree that you could debate for hours and hours, right?
That is so true. And all these relationships with these different NATO countries, NATO, I guess, Dalton, is trying to take a stand as an organization. At the same time, probably different levels of commitment, right? I mean, Italy as opposed to Germany, as opposed to, Bulgaria, whatever.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of cultures, a lot of countries involved in this thing. So it's probably not necessarily smooth sailing at every NATO meeting, would you imagine?
Right. It's like buying a large corporation. Like, you have some stockholders who maybe own a half a percentage or percentage of the company, and then you have a majority stakeholder, mm-hmm. like the United States, that a whole lot more. It means a lot more. Whatever NATO decides, even though everyone is supposed to jump in together in NATO, who do you think is going to pay the biggest price for that? It would be the U.S. with the strongest military and most commitments.
And that's what, you know, Donald Trump addressed that when he was president of the United States with mm-hmm. Germany and with other members of NATO. It sounded like he was being unkind or disrespectful to NATO, but at the same time, what he was saying was actually very true. You got to pull your own, or why does it all fall on us?
Right.
And so we're seeing that in action right now.
We are. If you thought we'd gotten rid of or had seen the last of Dr. Anthony Fauci, think again.
Okay.
He was on one of those Sunday shows this weekend saying might need to bring back lockdowns. He's worried that the pandemic isn't over, which I kind of agree with. I don't think it's over, but I think the maybe being blown out of proportion part of it is over. How about this? National Geographic has a report that scientists are working on self-spreading vaccines that could jump from vaccinated to unvaccinated populations. So even if you didn't want the vaccine, you'd have to, I guess, get it with this.
So in essence.
Yeah. The article indicates these, quote, new vaccines or so-called recombinant viruses are developed through a process where researchers first identify a protein from the target microbe that serves as an antigen that triggers immune responses in vaccinated people or animals. Researchers then select a virus to carry the vaccine and spread it. So to me, and I might be wrong on this, it sounds like they would kind of try to immediately jump from first base to home, where we saw some of the worst variants of COVID early on, and then with Delta. And then by the time you get towards now, where we're talking about a sub-variant of the Omicron variant, it's like they would try to skip from there to where we are now with this self-spreading vaccine.
They would be encouraging crowds.
But this opens an entirely different box right here.
Our audience just lost their mind. Thanks for that. 859 FM Talk 106.5.